That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday, and I'm so excited to be back in studio. We've got audio and video going today because in lieu of Jax, and there's nobody like Jax. I'm not, you know, going to beat around the bush. There's not.
It's true.
There's a really close second, and I have to say, it brings me so much joy. I love podcasting with you. It's so easy. It's everything, and the audience loves you too. Like, I have people who I love who I ask them to come on, and the toasters don't jive, and it, like, sucks because I love them, but I'm like, sorry, you're not coming back. You are always requested, and it makes me so happy because you make my job so fucking easy.
Oh my God, that is so nice.
No, I mean, it's true.
First of all, Jackie is everything of the sort.
Incomparable.
So, to even get to be like, even a distant second is such an honor and a privilege.
And I'm so excited to have you here because, like, you're doing the most, you know? You have a lot to update the toasters on. You're on tour.
Yes, yes I am. I'm on tour.
And I'm hating it.
I know, because we don't get to see each other.
Like, it's the summer. You're, like, one of the three people I like to hang out with, and you're gone every weekend.
I know.
And I'm just going to have to call Stassi up and tell her to stop.
Well, luckily, she's having a baby.
I know, so she can't, like, extend the tour.
So her third trimester. So we only have, like, six shows left. Mm-hmm. We have, not this weekend, we're off this weekend, but the following we have Port Chester, because I know we have obviously a lot of tri-state girlies, their toasters. Yeah. Port Chester, Huntington.
The best theater.
And then, it's in New Jersey. I really should know.
Count Basie. Red Banks.
Yeah. Red Banks. Yeah. Red Banks.
Red Bank. Okay. I think it's a singular bank.
Okay.
Red Bank, New Jersey.
Red Banksy.
The Count Basie Theater.
Is it nice?
It is, except the last, and I had an amazing show the last time I was there, but something actually scary happened to me. I told you this story.
Is it haunted? Sometimes they're haunted.
No, it's not haunted. You've been spending too much time with Stassi. I went in the summer and I had, like, such a busy day. I did the toast. We drove and I just, like, had forgotten to eat, which is, like, not something I'm really, like, that happens to me a lot.
Oh, this happened there.
And I get on stage and towards the end of the show, I started getting really dizzy and hot. And I'm like, you know, trying to be funny. I'm like, am I going to faint? Like, I really thought I was going to faint. I actually wrapped the show like 10 minutes early. I didn't do this, like, final segment because I was, like, on the verge of fainting. And I was like, what's going on? And then Ben was like, are you okay? I'm like, no. And then I realized I hadn't eaten. I'm just, like, so skinny. Like, oh my God. And it was, like, one of the scary, the theater is fine. It wasn't the theater's fault. It was just right. One of the scariest moments of my life.
That's crazy.
Did you see the video of Heather McDonald fainting on stage?
No. Recently?
Yeah. Like, maybe, no, not recently. Like, maybe a year, 2 years ago.
No.
She fainted on stage and she actually fractured her skull because, like, the back of her head hit the floor, and she came on the toast after and told the whole story.
And what happened?
She doesn't know. She just, like, collapsed.
I don't want to jinx myself because I also got really, like, lightheaded today on the way in. So uh-huh. I had my, like, road oats when I walked in. But I'm not a fainter. I've never fainted.
By the way, neither have I.
Knock on wood.
I came really close in a hot tub once. I was in a hot tub for, like, too long.
Mine?
No, not yours. Not yours. It was like when we were on vacation. Should we tell everyone?
We should tell everyone.
Taylor invited me over to her home, which was so lovely. We had such a great night on Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
And
we have, like, it's not like a real hot tub. No. It's like inflatable.
And it was really enjoyable. It was so warm. And before we got in, you were like, this, just please don't pee in it.
Because it's so little.
Right.
Like, it's literally in, like, it is just a kid's swimming pool.
Yeah. It's like an inflatable kid's swimming pool.
With, like, a heater in it.
And I said, I would never. That's disgusting. I would
never. And the thing, when you said I would never, I thought fraudulent and a liar. I would always. Yeah. I mean, if I'm in your pool, I'm peeing. If I'm in your real hot tub, I'm peeing.
I agree. If I'm in your shower, I'm peeing.
Oh, 1,000%. If I'm in your bathtub, I'm peeing. Yeah.
So I said, I would never. Thank you so much for inviting me over. And you invited Ben and my friend Abe. Like, you were such a gracious host. I said, I would never. But we had been drinking.
Yes, but that's why, like, this is the thing is, I'm not usually like that. Like, I'm not like a judgy, ew, germy, freaky person.
Yeah, but you can be. It's like gross.
It's just that you have to drain it and then fucking clean it. And then it's like, it's just such a process.
So I told her that I didn't. And then probably an hour later, I had drank a little bit more. And I told everyone that I did, in fact, pee in the hot tub 3 times. So
three. That's like a half of the water content.
Okay. Now that we're like, you know, being honest.
How many times?
It was 3. I wasn't lying about the amount of times, but somebody else peed in it too. I won't say who it is.
It was Abe. I know it was. It was the two of you. I could see them whispering, and I thought to myself, I was like pouring drinks, and I was like, they're either talking shit or they're fucking peeing.
And then when we left, Abe was like, thank you so much for not like dragging me into it too. Because he knew, like, I knew that he peed. When I told everyone that I peed 3 times, I also knew that Abe peed. And he was like, thank you so much. Because he like wants to be invited back, you know?
So guess what? So I went in it the next day, and I was like, fuck it. Like, just like throw There's the chemicals chlorine. In and let's just see. And so I was in it. And Tay's like, you've been there for a while.
Did you pee?
She was like, did you pee? And I did.
Okay, the thing is,
once there's pee, that's not fair. So, we got in a huge fight.
So what you wanted to say to me is thank you for opening the door.
No, because never again. But Tay was like, I can't believe you pee. And I was like, you're gonna yell at me. And I flipped, because like that's the thing in our relationship is everybody, she treats everybody with like, no big deal.
Because she's a gracious host.
But then me? I'm held to a completely different standard.
No, that's so, that's me and Ben.
For
Ben, it's like, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-mm. So we got in like a legit fight, and I was like, if you're going to yell at me, I have to call Claudia and yell at her.
No, and if you guys yelled at me, I would have been like, no, you're 100% right. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I promised that I wouldn't. I was a guest in your home. You were gracious enough to invite your home and open your home up to not only me, not only my husband, but also my friend. And I came and took a big piss on it. Like,
literally.
You would have been right to yell at me. Taylor Donahue can call me and yell at me if she wants.
Wow. I've actually never seen you admit to.
Oh my God. By the way, one thing about me, like, I'm never wrong. But when I am, I admit it. I feel like it's actually like a decent quality of mine. Like, I know when I'm wrong.
Yes. I think I'm so self-aware, I actually become paranoid and unself-aware. Like, I'm actually taking responsibility for things that I didn't even do.
Yeah.
I will apologize all day long.
You, by the way, you were just where? San Diego?
We were just in San Diego, and then we went to Denver. Short trip, but hellish travel.
Yeah, I can't travel. Like, this is like the time of year where everyone's traveling, and the airlines like forgot how to airline.
Well, so we were stuck in the tarmac for like 2.5 hours, leaving Newark to go to LA, and they were like, we can't find an open flight path.
What?
And then he's like, oh, we found one. And then he came back.
Oh, that's reassuring.
30 seconds later and was like, oh, it's gone. Weather.
What does that even
I'm
mean?
I'm like, this is like, I don't need to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah, yeah. Just get me there.
But he said like, welcome to flying in the, you know, Northeast during the summer. I'm like, That's not a thing.
That's the Northeast, not a thing. It's beautiful.
We can go everywhere locally. What do you mean?
No, and it's like the summer. Well, we can go places in the winter, but like that doesn't even make any sense.
I know. I hated him.
But I saw that you had like a VIP guest come to your show. I saw Alex Cooper came to the San Diego show. And I have two questions. One, how was that? And two, have other like people come to the show or like the show coming up in LA? Yeah. I mean, I know I came. So like obviously that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But first of all, how was that?
I was dying.
Were you nervous?
Wait, so on the flight out there, Lo, I was texting with her because I was like, you might need to book me a flight tomorrow to San Diego directly. This is like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So she was like, you have to make it to the show in San Diego. And I was like, why? And she's like, Alex Cooper's coming. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
Her Did that make you more nervous?
Recently met and they like really hit it off. Yeah. Yes, it made me nervous, but I was also really excited because...
No, but you're great. Like, you have nothing to be nervous about. I've seen your show. Thank you. So funny. Like, I can't recommend seeing Stassi's show enough, obviously, because it's great. But, like, to see Taylor in her element is such a joy, honestly. You were amazing.
You're a little bit biased because you're my friend.
No, I'm, like, a hater to my core. And I'm not this type of woman who, like, lifts up other women.
You are not a woman who supports women.
No, not in the slightest, because I think that makes us weak. Like, honestly.
So I agree.
If you stunk it up, like, I would have seriously been telling you.
You wouldn't have said anything, like, you didn't say anything at Brian's 40th birthday party.
I wouldn't say anything the night of, but like when we recapped the next day. You would
have
been like,
what would you have said constructively?
I would have said notes. And my only note was that you need to slow down the way you, this, and yes. that's because that's one of my biggest challenges as well.
And it's actually, I'm scared of silence because I have done this for, you know, recently I was doing the math. I So I hit 100K on Instagram.
I saw. Congratulations.
Thank you. And but I had to wait till 101 to even mention it because the fucking haters
would have been like, oh, she reached 100. Unfollow.
Unfollow. Unfollow. But what was my point? Oh, I did the math. It took me 17 years to get to 100,000.
I would feel bad for you if you were out here trying. The fact that you have 100,000 people who follow you when you give them nothing on Instagram is a miracle. You should have less. So you know what? It didn't take you 17 years. It's not like you're out here pounding the pavement every day, posting content, trying to do this, doing giveaways, this, shooting content outside your house, getting a photographer. You literally posted like from Brian's birthday in Portugal like 3 weeks later.
It's true.
So you're not even trying. So good for you. Honestly, it's more impressive.
He said.
It is.
So, but why did I bring that up?
It took you 17 years and you're doing stand-up now.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Wow, I'm really slow today. I'm so sorry. People are going to be like, can you never have her back again after tour? Okay, so Alex. So I was like, I have to get out there. I'm so excited. And Alex and Hannah Burner are close. Mm-hmm. And so I've just like, I've been like, it's a matter of time before I meet Alex. Actually, I thought Alex was going to come to Hannah's bachelorette party last spring. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't able to make it. So anyway, but I was like, this has to happen. So I was so excited, but then I got so nervous because having anybody, having you there, having Brian there, having my wife there,
yeah,
like people that I love and trust, I get nervous over. So somebody new who I have no bearings on whatsoever, I just was like very nervous. Panicked. But she was actually backstage. I mean, she was like, she couldn't sit down in the audience like ahead of time.
Yeah.
You guys got mobbed when you came in.
I lived for every moment of it.
We have learned our lesson though now. It's like when we have high profile guests coming, we just have them like come backstage and just slip out right before.
Yeah, smart.
So so she did that. So she was backstage, so we got to meet her before the show, which is, again, it's interesting because like pre-show meets and post-show meets, very different vibes.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about them?
When I do a show, if anybody I know, like Ben's parents come to a lot of shows and I ask that they just show up and not tell me, and then they come back afterwards. I'm like, oh, you guys were here.
Exactly.
If they bring their friends like that, it's not even like high profile people who make me anxious. It's like, it's really like people I know personally, yep, or like people who were at my wedding, like distant relatives like that. Like, I just want to die. Like, it's so painful. So everybody knows there's like a big rule. Like, if anyone's coming to the show, do not tell Claudia, just like get tickets,
right,
through Ben or Margo or through the agency and come back afterwards. But nobody's allowed to talk to me before. Like, I, that's like, I don't get nervous. People are always like, do you, I never get nervous. People that I know coming, yep. Yep. Kills me.
I'm with you. What is that?
But if somebody high profile is coming, that like fucking gasses me up. I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm so being like, I want to show this bitch that I'm fucking great. Like, that gasses me up.
So I will say that I was nervous, but like when I'm nervous, I tend to actually rise perform to the better occasion. Yes. And so I was like really going over my set. I was like really like going over my points for when we do Pop Culture Hour because I knew, yep, we were going to do like Vanderpump, whatever. So she actually made me like fucking up my game. But she was so fucking nice.
That's amazing.
I expected to like her, but I didn't expect to be like as comfortable with her as I was. Mm-hmm. She's like really down to earth, humble, girly.
Girly
she's
girl.
She's like fucking, she's one of us.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
That's so nice to hear when like people live up to the expectations, because for the most part, everyone's the worst.
I know, right?
Actually, last night I went to dinner with this kid. I'm sure you don't know him because you're like a grandma, not on TikTok. His name is Jake Shane, octopus lover. Do you know him?
I'm so bad now.
He's like the big thing on TikTok right, okay, now. And he's a toaster, and we now have the same agent. And she was like, he's coming to New York, you guys should get dinner. And you know me, like I dread leaving the house. I dread meeting new people. And honestly, I was like, I can't wait to get home. When I tell you, like, we couldn't stop talking. I was obsessed with him. Like, the success that he's having, like, is so deserving. Like, don't worry, you're not being replaced.
I'm so jealous of him. I hate him.
I did talk
about
him.
He's my mortal enemy.
I did talk about you.
Did you?
I forget how you came up. Oh, I was trying to convince him to do stand-up because he really, like, he has it, you know? Yep. That's, like, my life's mission.
To,
like,
so you want me to hate this person right now?
To push people beyond their, you know, beyond their limitations and show them that they can do stand-up. And I was like,
you're, like, really making it less special that you tell me that, like, you just meet this TikTok
why?
Boy.
You're, like, my
talks about octopuses and all of a sudden.
You're my finest work. You're my protege. Like, I'm like, look at her now. The proof,
100K.
The proof is in the pudding with Taylor Schreiber.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was a good conversation. Don't make it nasty. Don't make it nasty, bitch.
I'm sorry. I'm just competitive.
Yeah, me too. By the way, like you spending all this time with Stassi, like it's been really hard for me. It's been really hard for me.
I get it.
So,
I get
yeah,
it.
So octopus lover is my new best friend, bitch. I had dinner with him just to hurt you.
Wait a second. What's up with the octopus?
Okay, so
he must know.
He loves octopus, and he started his account by like rating like fancy octopuses all over LA.
Like like dishes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm dead.
And then his like his fan base became like the pussies. It's really funny.
Of course.
And now he does these videos, pussy PSA, pussy PSA. And he like says something moronic. It's very funny. He's really creative and different.
I love him.
And he's like this 23-year-old gay kid. I like, we just literally talked about like Joan Rivers. We like, it was so like, it was so nice to meet someone, not to like rub it in, but like we like really connected. But anyway, I was trying to make a point that
I
like,
was like on my way to liking him, and now I hate him again.
I was trying to make a point to your point that like he could have been the worst, but
you
he
can
wasn't.
Only have so many gays in your life. No, it's in true. The month of Pride.
No, and it's Pride Month, and like the gays are flocking to me, and not to make Pride Month about me.
Oh my, you're so.
But
toxic.
I'm kind of like the number one ally in the world, you know. Not to make Pride Month about me.
Yeah, no. Actually, you peed in a gay person's hot tub, so obviously that was a hate crime.
That was an extremely gay thing for me too, actually. I was role-playing as a gay person. You're welcome. Love is love. Love wins. Need I say more?
You're not well.
No, the thing is,
you're not well.
Pride Month is really hard for me because
oh my God.
It's not about me, you know?
Yeah. How does that feel?
Hard.
I'm so sorry.
It's like the least you could do is just kind of lift me up this
You know
month.
What? The straight struggle is so real.
That's what I'm saying.
And as a middle-aged white...
Where's my month?
As a middle-aged... What did I just say? I'm not well.
I thought you were calling me middle-aged. I'm like, bitch, get out of here.
No, I would never talk about you or your family or your dog's age ever again.
Good. Good. She learned her lesson from last time being on the toast.
No, I always say that, like, I had a joke in my set that was that I am a white middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Straight man. Like, yeah. That is, I relate so much to that demographic. That's and so I just want to say, like, it's really hard being us.
Let me think who, I definitely feel, and this is, like, the most, like, performative white woman thing to say, I really feel like a gay man stuck in a woman's body. Like, I really do. And that's just kind of my crossbar. That's why Pride is so hard for me.
Yeah. How are you feeling about like all these brands dropping the rainbow flag as a gay man?
As a gay man?
Yes.
It's hurtful. As a white woman, do I care?
I will say that for years, the gay community, self-included, we've mocked these big brands.
They call it pink washing, right?
Yeah, where it's like, oh, now all of a sudden, like, you believe in allyship and, like, you're going to speak about it because, like, you're going to financially benefit off of, like...
It's so performative.
Like, it is.
Yeah.
But now that it's gone,
you miss it.
It hurts. It really hurts.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay paradise and put up a pride flag.
Bop, bop, bop. I wasn't ready for it.
But think about me, like, I'm gonna make Pride Month about myself, and I'm gonna break into song, which, like I said, truly makes me a gay man.
How? That's very accurate. How? By the way, is the singing going on the show? I know that there has been some controversy over it.
Yeah, if you read our podcast reviews, which I genuinely don't encourage anyone to do.
No,
you know,
Sarah Yelp.
You know, Spotify has a new thing.
What?
Where you can't leave a review on a podcast that they don't have data of you actually listening to.
That is incredible because I imagine a lot of my negative reviews, the positive ones, of course, people that listen.
No, when you like something, you don't like go sit and write about it. You go enjoy it. Like
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really smart new thing that it's not even that new, but relatively new thing that Spotify does.
But I do always say at the end of Taste of Taylor every week, like, please go rate, review, and subscribe, because it's like if you went to a restaurant and didn't tip your waitress.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you just like give like an HGH. Hey, girl, hey. No big deal.
This content is free, so the least you could do is leave a review.
And a good one.
Yeah.
We're not encouraging bad ones.
If you go and, if you do one thing after this episode, it's take down your pride flag and go leave a positive review.
Thanks.
Okay, we've dilly-dallied so long. We have to get into the stories. And we actually have amazing stories today that I'm excited to get your take on.
Am I allowed to drink my matcha?
You are. Oh, Taylor's become so toxic. Like, she drinks matcha now and she ate, like, rolled oats before she got here. And I really need you to stop.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Ready for the fast five stories that you need to know? Today's episode is brought to you by Sephora, specifically some of the fabulous clean beauty brands available at Sephora. So whether you're really into clean beauty or you just happen to love great makeup, this sponsor is for you. For me, there are so many amazing brands that I purchase at Sephora that I didn't even know were clean. And I know Jackie really seeks out clean beauty products because she's very much in her clean girl era. She's pregnant. She's being really conscious about what she puts in her body. And it's also just really highlighted for me, like, we need to be more conscious about what we're putting on our face. So many brands that I love that I've now learned are clean, I'm so happy about, are available at Sephora. One of my favorite brands is Merit Beauty. Their cream blushes are amazing. Their concealer is amazing. House Labs is also one of my favorite brands. It's available at Sephora, and it's Lady Gaga's brand, and it is a clean brand, so I love their powder blush. Their foundation went so viral on TikTok. Also, another brand is Westman Atelier. I've really been getting into them, and they're one of Sephora's clean beauty brands. Their contour and bronzing sticks are amazing. Clean beauty is fabulous. It's so important to learn what ingredients are in our makeup and what we're actually putting into our skin, on our lips, you know? These are our faces, ladies. We've got to be really conscious of what we're putting in there. So Sephora has amazing brands, everybody knows that, and a lot their clean beauty brands are amazing. You don't have to give up quality for the clean beauty. They're so good, they work so well. If you wanna learn more about clean beauty, about clean beauty brands available at Sephora, go to sephora.com/clean, look gorgeous and feel good. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. So Legacy Box is that sponsor that everybody's always like, Claudia, what was that Legacy Box? And you know what's so funny? We were having this conversation yesterday because we did a Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the best way to digitize old home videos, home photos, camcorder, VHS, things like that. And we were watching some of the things we had digitized yesterday, and we realized we have a whole other box in our basement of camcorder footage that we've never been able to get. So we're doing another Legacy Box, which is really exciting. It's the coolest. It's the best. It is the most proficient way to digitize your old memories, bring those memories into the modern world. And it's also a great gift. You know, Father's Day is coming up, and that's like kind of a really sentimental, beautiful gift. And if there's just favorite childhood memories of yours, like for us, singing the Spice Girls in our parents' bedrooms, like we never would have been able to relive that if it weren't for Legacy Box. It's so easy. You load Legacy Box up with your old tapes, film, pictures, and they'll send it back to you completely digitized. You'll get it on a thumb drive or the cloud. It's ready to watch and easy to share. It's so simple. It's basically like magic. This was one of the easiest things I've ever done. They update you with emails throughout the process being like, oh, here's the tracking. Oh, here it was delivered. Here's what we're up to now. You feel like your memories are really being protected and safeguarded by Legacy Box because they understand how important like what they're holding is. It's literally your entire family's legacy in a box. So of course we have a great discount for you guys. And with Father's Day coming up, I feel like this is a really good gift. Don't let the summer heat age your videotapes, your film reels, and fade your memories. Visit legacybox.com/toast to shop their $9 tape sale. So that's legacybox.com/toast to unlock this incredible offer. Great. Our first story is some breakup news. Taylor Swift and Matty Healy have confirmed their breakup after just 1 month of dating, allegedly. Yep. So Taylor Swift and Matty Healy have broken up after a whirlwind romance, Page Six has confirmed. A friend close to the situation told TMZ that Taylor is single again, but the reason for their split is unknown. However, a source told Entertainment Tonight that scheduling and incompatibility were the causes. They said, Taylor and Matty broke up. They're both extremely busy. They realize they're not compatible with each other. Taylor's friends want what's best for her, and they aren't shocked that their relationship fizzled out since she recently got out of a long-term relationship.
Right.
So I think that like the internet had a lot to say about this relationship, and people are like, Taylor's listening to her fans. No, she's not. I feel like Taylor's the type of person who like doesn't let her public life dictate her private life, because that's such a toxic way to live. Like,
no, she can't.
Oh, somebody on Twitter said this, like, I'm gonna go do that. Like,
yes, but it was a pouring outcry of like, what is she doing?
I know, but there was also a pouring outcry of Taylor being like, people being like, yes, Taylor, like you were in this serious ass relationship. Go be with this rock star. Like, go get railed. Like, who cares?
Right. And that's true too. It's like, they could have just been like fuck buddies. And of course it's like elevated because she is who
so
she
famous.
Is.
So famous, yeah.
I am thrilled.
You are.
Because I have become, through you, I will give the credit where credit's due, I started to kind of like get Taylor. I will say actually my old manager too, he really like, he was like, please watch the stadium special on Netflix.
Yep.
And I watched like the first 5 minutes and I was like, she, don't get mad at me. This is old me.
It's fine.
She's like trying to dance like Beyonce and it's like making me uncomfortable. And like, Taylor, stop it. And so I said this to my manager and
such
he's like,
painful conversation.
He was like, please go back and watch it.
You know
so
who
I
would
went
never,
back.
You know who would never say something like that? Octopus Lover. He's the biggest 50. We actually had like the best time last night talking about Taylor Swift.
Well, I drink matcha now because of Stassi.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I did it with Octopus Lover. That's why.
So
if I didn't like Stassi so much, I'd literally hate her.
I know, I get it.
She's just wonderful.
I know, right?
Bitch.
So I was like, fuck this, I'm not watching it. And then he was like, please go back and watch it again. Cut to me 20 minutes in, hysterically crying and screaming alone in my studio apartment watching it. So that was like what beganeth the fandom. And then just like listening to songs with you and hearing like perspectives. And also like I've been going down this rabbit hole of watching how she handles herself on stage during this tour, like yelling at the security guard, fixing her garter, forgetting the words to songs.
Relatable.
Relatable queen. So I'm obsessed with her. And so I did not like him for her.
Okay.
Because I just felt like he was like.
Who do you see her with?
I don't. No, actually, I do know. I mean, I don't know who, but I know what gender, and it's a woman.
Yeah.
I really, I don't, I'm not outing her. I want her to be gay for the gay agenda. Mm-hmm. I want her to be a lesbian for our PR. Like, we need it.
Yeah,
we
need her. I mean, it is Pride Month, and you're, like, over here speculating on another woman's sexuality, and that's not very ally of you.
I just said I would like it to be. I'm not outing. There have been rumors.
Right. See, yes. Taylor's being a toxic lesbian. But should we really be surprised?
No.
No. You're so toxic.
I know.
But so am I.
I learned it from you. I learned matcha from Stassi, and I learned toxicity from you.
And what will get you farther in life? Matcha or toxicity?
Definitely being toxic.
100%. People respect toxicity.
You're so unhinged today.
I know. You really bring it out of me.
Thank you. What a compliment.
I'm trying to think who I would like ship Taylor with. She's so, and I hate this whole thing. It's like powerful women can date whoever they want, but like they really can't. Like,
no, they really, really can't. You know who she should date?
Who?
And I know that you guys brought this up the other day on the Toast. I saw a clip of it and I agreed. Taylor Kitsch. Taylor and Taylor.
Yeah, you love that.
Also, I feel like his sexuality has been questioned as well. So they could be like maybe very fluid together.
Has his sexuality been questioned?
Very much so. Very much so.
Oh, I would love a gay Tim Riggins.
Me too. But I could just like, he's so hot.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he's kind of irrelevant. So he could like follow her around the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Maddie is the lead of like a very successful band and they're super international because he's based in the UK.
Right.
So like, it's really not feasible for her to be on a tour, him to be on a tour. She really needs to date someone who can like, Jackie and I always say like a businessman beau.
Yes.
Who is like worth billions, but can work remotely.
Yes.
From her jet, from her dressing room.
I don't know. Again, not to be like this, but just like I would see a lesbian relationship too. Because I feel like two women can be very successful and still like share the limelight. Whereas I think it's hard for a man sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's true. Harder. It is hard. But it's also just not feasible sometimes, like with like scheduling and.
Yes, and now I'm being sexist though as well.
Yeah, but the thing about sexism, it's kind of like an ism I'm for.
Same.
And I don't think men and women should be treated like the same.
Yeah, I think men should be treated badly.
No, like, I want my dinners paid for. I want my doors held for me.
Yes.
But I also want to be paid the same. So I'm just kind of toxic when it comes to my gender equality.
At least she's on brand.
I am on brand. Okay, ready for our next story?
Yes.
This one is so fucking funny. Okay, so Pete Davidson is, like, deeply unwell.
Yes.
He has left always. A voicemail, an extremely unhinged voicemail for a woman who works at PETA, the animal rights organization.
I'm already on board.
I'm obsessed. Pete Davidson is going to war with PETA over the new dog that he bought, and he fired the latest shot via a profanity-laced voicemail for the animal rights group, a move he says he doesn't regret, but he says it came from a place of grief.
Okay.
So PETA says that the actor left a heated message for them for the senior VP of cruelty investigations. Her name is Daphna. He got her name because
her name is what?
Daphna.
Is it Daphna?
Or
Daphne.
D-A-P-H-N-A.
Daphna.
What, do you think I don't know how to fucking read? You think I'm illiterate?
Yes.
Bitch, you don't even read. I have read 22 books this year. What have you done? What have you done?
Misspelled every text I send out.
Daphna.
Yes.
So he basically got her name because she was the one who issued a statement to TMZ. She was speaking on behalf of PETA. Did you see that picture went viral of him and his girlfriend buying a dog?
No, but continue.
It went viral because like they were spotted together, not because they were buying a dog. Like, okay. Nobody cared. But so that photo had went viral. And then PETA released a statement to TMZ just basically expressing their disappointment in Pete buying a puppy instead of adopting from a shelter. So he saw that and got pissed and left a voicemail for this woman, Daphna, who was the one who signed the statement to TMZ. Pete announces that he announces himself. He says, hi, it's Pete Davidson, and says he's responding to Daphna's statement, where he calls, which he called uneducated and premature. He said he's allergic to dogs, as his rep told us, and that's why he got a Cavapoo, which is a nearly hypoallergenic dog breed because they don't shed.
Right.
He also says that the dog is for his mother, whose dog died 2 weeks earlier. So his mother was grieving. He went out and got a dog, and he got a dog that he could live with. You know, he lives with his mother.
Oh, I forgot.
Cavapoo is something that he's not allergic to, and there was like a whole reason as to why he shopped, not adopted.
Right.
He angrily tells Daphna in an expletive-laced diatribe to do her research before talking to the media, drops an F-bomb, and makes a vulgar suggestion involving his penis. She told him to suck his dick.
Oh, amazing.
PETA isn't backing down, though.
Of course they're not, because they're the worst.
So they told TMZ if PETA had done his research, he would know that there's no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog, that at least a quarter of dogs in shelters are purebreds, and that Petfinder has listings for homeless dogs of every breed under the sun, including the one that he purchased. TMZ contacted Pete about his furious voicemail, and he admits he was unaware he could adopt a specific hypoallergenic dog. He said he was told it wasn't an option, and if it was, it was super rare. As for his anger, he addressed that by emphasizing his family was really going through it after his mother's dog died. He said, "I haven't seen my sister and my dog and my mom cry like that in over 20 years. I was trying to cheer up my family. I was already upset that the store had filmed me without my permission or acknowledgement.
Right.
Then the organization PETA made a public example of us, making our grieving situation even worse. I am upset. It was a poor choice of words. I shouldn't have said what I said, but I'm not sorry for standing up for myself or my family."
Team Pete in this 100%. Also, guess what will happen if nobody goes to the stores? Those dogs will end up at shelters.
No, it's a vicious cycle.
So technically, you know,
you're rescuing,
every animal's a rescue.
You're rescuing an animal from a pet shop. That's like some people's thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into adopt-don't-shop because, like, yeah, you should adopt, but I didn't, so moving on. To me, the most interesting part of this story is the dog store. The picture got released because the dog store's social media page put up a picture of them.
That's fucked.
So it's really fucked, and, like, that's such a breach of privacy and, like, not cool. And if they had asked, I'm sure Pete would have been like, sure.
Right.
Picture of him and a dog going viral, no problem. That, like, that sucks. And, like, this whole situation happened because his privacy was breached.
You know, it's really interesting when it comes to social media and, like, what's appropriate, what's not, and in terms of privacy. Like, even I was with Stassi's daughter, Hartford, for a day before we went on tour, and I was taking video of her, and I was like, can I post this? Like, you always have to ask permission before you post anything.
Yeah.
So,
no, with kids especially, it's...
And that's my friend.
Right.
I, like, even get, like, photo approval from you and my wife.
Well, that's,
like,
just because if you put up a picture of me looking ugly on my bad side, you're dead to me. There's a simple explanation for that.
But I mean, they should have known better.
No, so, like, that sucks. And obviously, Pete, like, is so funny that, like, I feel like if anybody else had done this, like Alec Baldwin leaving a voicemail for his daughter calling her a thoughtless little pig, we were all like, how disgusting. But Pete Davidson, like, telling this random lady to suck his dick, like, sorry, it's funny.
No, it's amazing. And also, Pete, it makes me want to, like, stab bunnies. I don't know why. And I like animals. I want
to
be clear.
You have such a visceral reaction to PETA. I actually like PETA.
I really don't like PETA.
Tell me more.
Because I feel like they bully people into doing what they think is right and moral. And it's like, this is the perfect example of it. It's like, listen, like, I just feel like they're just too aggressive in their pursuit of what they want. Like, I agree with, like, the actual message.
That's interesting.
But I don't even know what the message is because they're so busy pissing me off.
The message is adopt, don't shop.
That's their only platform. They're also very anti-fur, of course.
Oh, no, I'm talking about in this particular issue.
Yes.
Their whole message is like, save the animals, don't eat milk.
Sure.
Shit like that.
Yeah. I can get a
Is there milk in your matcha?
Oat milk.
Look at you. PETA approved.
I know.
PETA, it's working.
See, I actually live a very PETA lifestyle.
Oh my God, that's not true. You have a meatloaf like 3 times a week.
That was during the pandemic and we were all doing things that we regret.
Yeah, but we weren't claiming to be PETA approved people like you are right now.
I'll fuck you up today.
Yeah, by the way, you love fur. I feel like you have 4 fur coats.
Fine.
No, I'm sorry.
I have one.
I'm sorry. Didn't your wife get you a fur coat for your birthday this year?
Yes, but it was salvaged and rescued.
You adopted it. You didn't shop it.
Yeah, it was rescued. We rescued a fur.
It was thrifted.
That was abandoned by an old woman, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Who had great taste and was wealthy.
Right.
And, like, it just would have been, you know, gone to waste. And that's not sustainable living.
It's not, actually.
And I'm a sustainable girly.
I actually don't wear fur.
I feel like... You are so fucking lying right now.
Oh, no. By the way, I don't wear fur.
You give, like, fur collar vibes.
No, I don't wear fur.
You give, like, fur wrist vibes. No,
that's nice. That's the energy I put out.
Zero?
I don't wear fur.
You've never in your life?
No, I have in my life.
Yeah, I see you, like, when you're, like, 13 with, like, a mink
at
little
bat mitzvahs. Yeah.
Short jacket from...
No, a mink shrug on my way to, like, a bat mitzvah in the winter.
Literally.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I don't do that anymore.
Because?
I don't wear fur. Because I care about animals.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I can't afford it. I can't afford the things that I want.
Me neither. That's why we had to rescue. No, literally, this woman's shop says, like, that she's a fur rescuer. I swear to God,
whatever
it's her
to
marketing.
Tell yourself, honestly, I am constantly telling myself like delusional things just to get through the day. So yeah. If that's what this woman needs to believe, then I love that journey for her.
Big delusional energy.
BDE. Big delusional energy.
Yep.
You're probably the most delusional person I know. Second to me.
But I think I'm delusional, like, in the negative sense. Like, I don't delusion up, I delusion down.
That's actually so true. You have, like, very low self-worth, and you absolutely have to work on that.
I know.
Like, you don't see what other people see in you.
That is so nice. Thank you.
And I think you do it as, like, a means of, like, protecting yourself and, like, deflecting.
Yes.
But you're so, I'm like, I feel like I'm always gassed. Like every time we're together, I'm just gassing you up.
I know. My mom's always like, why do you have such low self-esteem? And I'm like, I don't know, mom. Like, where do you think it starts? And I love her. And she's, my parents are so wonderful. But like, definitely there was some messaging given to me. I know what it was.
Tell.
It was, be a good Catholic girl. And if you're not good, and by good, they were like, never drink, never smoke a cigarette, never smoke pot. Like my mom found a bowl in my car that fell out of my boyfriend's cargo short.
Like a weed bowl?
Yes, like a weed bowl. Yeah, that's high school.
That was my thing in college, yeah.
And literally she woke me up in the morning, abusive and rude. Mm-hmm. And she said, I found your crack pipe and I'm calling the police.
Not Babs with the drama. Like so dramatic. I found your crack pipe.
Crack pipe?
She's going to find your Ozempic and say, I found your heroin needle.
Literally.
That was an A-plus joke.
It was amazing. But yeah, so I feel like I was always like, I was being so bad. So like.
Yeah, I forget that you grew up Catholic.
Oh, it really fucked me up.
Did it?
Yes.
Really? Catholic guilt is like a real thing.
It's beyond a thing. It's actually a personality trait.
Jewish guilt is a thing too, but it's very different. It's like just
it
about,
is different.
It's about like not seeing your family enough and finishing all
and
the...
And about like small things.
Yeah, it's like finishing all the food on your plate because our ancestors in concentration camps got one bread roll every 3 days.
Yes, like it's funny because like my parents aren't critical, but when they critique it, it's deep.
And what is it about, if you don't mind me asking?
Like my entire existence as a human.
Right, like career, like apartment.
Yeah, no, more like heaven, hell. Like oh. More like, they really like utilize the hell shit against you as a Catholic.
Are your parents still Catholic?
Yeah, my dad actually converted. He always wanted to be Catholic, which is like very toxic for me.
What?
Protestant, which is like the same shit.
Oh, I didn't know you converted like within the...
But back in the day, yeah, he got, he had a communion or he got like, baptized, I don't fucking know, when he was like in his 50s or 60s.
Wow.
Yeah, we had to go to the worst mass ever. It was 3 hours long. Two of the hours in the dark.
Why?
I don't know. And the woman was farting in front of me. Honestly, bless her, because she was the comedic humor, like the comedic break I needed the whole time.
Oh man, you are deeply unwell. And the more that I learn about you, like the more I understand why you're so unwell, you know? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're listening today, we've got some advice for you. Stop waiting and start using ZipRecruiter. They can help you find qualified candidates for all of your roles fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. So ZipRecruiter is so efficient at helping you hire, and here's how. They use powerful matching technology to quickly find and send you the most qualified people for your roles. You can check out the people that ZipRecruiter sends you, and if you really like one or two of them, you can actually personally invite them to apply with just one click. It makes them apply sooner, and you're more likely to find someone that you like because you quite literally selected them. Plus, here's how quickly ZipRecruiter can work to help you hire. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. If you're a business owner, you have people who work for you, you know how important it is to find a quality candidate who you get along with and a personality level, who has the skills that are required for your role, and hiring can be a really treacherous journey, but not with ZipRecruiter. Speed up your hiring process with ZipRecruiter. Just go to this exclusive link of ZipRecruiter.com/toast to try ZipRecruiter for free. Only when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/toast, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST. This is one of the things that you don't want to skimp out on. Like, you want the best quality candidates, people who are going to work for you, who are going to support you, who are going to be qualified, who are going to be great. And it's just so easy to use that. We've used it for a million different roles, like video editors, assistants in the past. Like, we have had such success with ZipRecruiter, and I really can't stress enough how fabulous it is. And you can get it for free when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. So whether you have a website, you want to start a website for e-commerce, a blog, whatever it is, check out Squarespace. It is the go-to for all things websites. Squarespace is the space to sell anything. They have the tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. Check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use our offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. I have made many websites in my life, and I am not even remotely qualified. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a computer science girly. And I can tell you Squarespace is so easy. Their templates are beautiful. Your website will come out looking professional and people will think you like hired a real company to do it. And you just use Squarespace. It's affordable. It's beautiful. They have great little features available to really make your website work really well. Like you get great analytics. They have a one-click data portability. So you own all the content that you put on your website. They help you find domains, which can be really hard to do, and purchase them. So again, our link is squarespace.com/toast for that free trial. And once you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace.com/toast. All right, are you ready for our next story, which is like confusing the hell out of me?
Yes.
Sutton Strack says Kathy Hilton did not film Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 13 and that she was missed. Now, before I give the details, I'm so confused because it was my understanding that Kathy Hilton gave Bravo the ultimatum. Like, it's either Lisa Rinna or me. I'm not filming with Lisa Rinna. Right. And they fired Lisa Rinna. So Kathy won, but then didn't even film. Which is like a boss move.
Isn't that so Kathy, though?
Yeah.
To be like, get rid of this bitch, ruin her life. Because it's everything to Rinna. Mm-hmm. It's like this much to Kathy.
Yeah, it's nothing. She's not even a full housewife. She's a friend of.
And then she's like, oh, you got rid of Rinna? Okay, you know what? I've changed my mind.
I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
So Sunstrack was interviewed by someone. And she said, so they asked, like, what's up with Kathy? And
right.
She said, was Kathy missed on the show? Yes. But is there a void on the show because Kathy's not there? No. There's still comical moments. It's still right. A great show, but I missed Kathy. I'm sorry. Kathy, like, will be missed. Like, some housewives leave and the show is no worse or better off. Like,
yes.
There will be a gaping hole without Rinna. It's a toxic hole. And there will be a gaping hole without Kathy. And it's a comedic relief kind of hole.
Yes. I mean, who is Hunky Dory is my favorite thing on the face of the planet.
And it was kind of the melodic way in which she said it.
Who is
Hunky Dory? Who is Hunky Dory?
Icon.
Like, imagine being so rich, you don't even know, like, colloquial terms.
It's unbelievable.
It's like, she's been so rich for so long.
For so long.
That she doesn't even know, like, the trendy phrases and such.
You know, I don't know. I feel like she will be missed, but because I know for a fact she chose to leave. Like, everyone's like, oh, I chose to leave. No, sure. You didn't.
There have been a few people who chose to leave. Bethany.
Yes.
Kathy Hilton.
Yes.
I feel like that's literally it.
Me too.
Everyone else got like dragged out.
Always.
While their nails are like scraping down the floor.
Yep.
You had to pull it from their cold dead hands.
So I feel like there's a chance she could be back. So I won't be that sad.
But I also think this is probably best for her relationship with her sisters.
I was going to say.
If she continued on, I think part of her storyline this season would be like the rift between her and Kyle.
That's why she's off, actually. Because she doesn't want to talk about it. And she knows they're going to make them deal with it if she comes back.
Yeah, and I think, like, the core of a lot of the fights between Kyle and Kim and Kyle and Kathy is that, like, the show is Kyle's thing. And it's hard for her.
Right.
Like, Kyle's been on the show for 10 years. Her sister came on for literally 3 scenes in one season and was automatically people's favorite housewife of all time. And you know, Kyle's out here doing the most for 8 years. And right. I think it was hard for her, honestly. To back and just watch her sister be the belle of the ball without having to do anything.
And Kyle did set her own sister up. I mean, she pitted Rinna against her. Like, all that shit Rinna did was for Kyle.
Yeah, no, Kyle did not do a good job of protecting her sister. And so no. I can imagine why Kathy was mad at her. And then yes. I imagine Kyle was mad at Kathy for, like, having to do nothing, not lift a finger, and being the favorite on the show.
Speaking of sisters on reality television, can we talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Yes.
So who, because it truly looked, I heard a rumor, actually.
What?
That they have not started filming. And I want to be clear, this is not a rumor, like, from Margaret. Because people know we're friends. This is not from Margaret. I heard about it, like, from production, like, other production about their production, like, friends of production. That they're on a, like, whatever, indefinite hiatus. Because they can't figure out who the cast is going to be, which means to me that it's true. Melissa and Teresa are like not going to work with each other. So if that is the case, who deserves to stay?
Okay, well, who deserves to stay is Melissa. Like, Melissa.
Okay.
In my mind, I'm team Melissa.
I am too.
So in my mind, Melissa deserves to stay because she didn't do anything wrong and she shouldn't be kicked off because she has gotten into an argument with a deeply irrational, illogical human being.
Yes.
So that's the ethical, in my opinion, answer. Who will stay is Teresa. Because it's, you know, she's the OG.
But do you feel like eventually, like, there's been so many OGs that have run their course as well, though. Yeah. I'm starting to see Bravo, like, when Bravo starts to give people the edit that they deserve, you know Bravo's like, we're fucking fed up, too.
They're like, Teresa will not be fired. Like, I think the network has far too much respect for what she's done for the show, for what she's put on the show, for the prison. Like, I think that there's a mutual respect between her and the network, which I do get.
Right.
But it's I do think Melissa will be the one to be asked to leave if someone gets asked to leave. And I don't think that's fair.
So maybe that's why there's a hiatus, because they know that that's the case and they want to keep Melissa and Joe on. I just feel like, though, like, what would Teresa do if she wasn't fighting?
Right. Yeah. And by the way, there's something to be said about a lot of the value Melissa brings to the show is her husband. And her husband is a lot of people's favorite character on the show. And he is the center of that guy group.
Yeah.
And he kind of created that guy group.
I know.
And I don't know if they would all hang out without him.
I agree.
So she has a good leg to stand on for her staying in the group.
I know. It's just so crazy. I will say, though, and I am team Melissa and Joe, but damn, if my ex-sister-in-law, I was on a reality show and she showed up like season 2 or 3, I'd have a fucking conniption. No. And I mean when I was married to husband.
Yeah. For sure.
But she's also the most boring person on the planet, so she wouldn't, like, last more than one season. But unlike Melissa.
Melissa didn't do anything wrong by coming on the show. Like, yeah, that's, like, a terrible feeling for Teresa.
Yes.
Like, this is my thing, and now you're coming on it. But, like, why can't it be both of your things? Like, it's really, like, sharing is caring, and she didn't do anything wrong by coming on the show.
No, and also, like, and even Andy was like, if she wasn't good, she wouldn't have been on. Like, it's not just you. Like, she's hot. Yep. She has, like, the lifestyle. She has a great personality.
Great husband.
Can you imagine? Like, Teresa must have been screaming on the inside.
The egotist in me, like, I got this thing, and, like, it's my thing, and then, like, somebody else comes, I would be vomiting.
Dying.
But that doesn't mean Melissa did anything wrong.
That's true.
That's just what I think.
Nope, it's true.
So Kathy will be sorely missed. Like, I don't love this.
I don't love it either. Maybe we can, I don't know. Get her back in, I don't know, maybe like at a dinner party or something.
I know, by the way.
We just need like a couple scenes with her.
I don't know. I mean, I know she had like a traumatic last season because like people were saying really disparaging things against her. But for the most part, she doesn't have to do a whole lot. And everything she does, people love.
I know.
And like there was like decent evidence that she had this full-blown mental breakdown. And like nobody even cared. Like people still love her. So like she can really do whatever she wants.
Whatever she wants. She's a dream.
This next story is something I probably would have rolled my eyes at like a few years ago, but now as like a woman who's actually getting older, I'm into it.
Oh, I'm ready.
Jennifer Aniston is being praised for showing off her gray hair. People are saying it's refreshing. So Jennifer Aniston is earning praise on Instagram for embracing her natural silver strands in a post announcing the latest launch from her hair care brand.
Okay.
This is really smart.
Yeah.
The 54-year-old's new intensive hair repair treatment is meant to be used once a week. Who cares? But she's basically just sharing this video on how to use it. She says sleep in it. You can use it for an hour, whatever.
Right.
And people noticed she's just at her house looking really cute and fresh-faced. And her hair is in like a half up, half down. And her roots are gray. And that's something a lot of, you know, women of a certain age in Hollywood would touch up.
Yeah.
I have to say, gray is not my favorite. Like when I go gray, like I will be touching it up.
Yeah.
But because she has like this really bright blonde hair, it actually looks really pretty. And I just kind of love this. Like this is something I would have been like, ugh, who cares? Or just been like, dye your hair, bitch. But I don't know. I'm like actually a person who like every now and then now like finds gray hairs.
Yes.
So the fact that like somebody so famous and so rich and really that I feel like for so many years was like the picture of beauty.
Yes.
To be embracing it. Like I actually, not to be so lame, like I do find this empowering.
Well, like not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Diane Keaton's been rocking that white hair for fucking ever.
And
she's the OG.
Her.
And yeah. I love it. I will say though, as a woman of a certain age, I have started to have grays. I put in like money pieces because they kind of cover it up. But like then also they like have a mind of their own. Sometimes they're just like, I'm blonde today. And other days they're like, I'm kind of orange. And I'm like, what is happening?
What is your take on grays? Like, what are you going to do about yours when they really come in? Everybody has like strays, no matter how old you are.
I have been trying to cover them. And like, I feel like I'm going to have to just go a little bit lighter to cover them because it's too hard to match my actual hair color. But I don't know. I mean, I wish I could be a woman who could be like, I would love to be that cool to like go gray, white gray, but then like it's the in-between for me.
Yes, of course. It's the getting there. It's not the destination. It's the journey. Well, you have to have like half black, half gray hair for a year.
I don't know if I could do it.
I know, that's tough.
I know, but maybe there's a world in which you can just like commit to the gray and just go full in gray, like instead of blonde.
Maybe you can dye your hair gray, and in the 6 months that like you dye it, the new hair growing in comes out gray.
I mean, listen, like I just feel like, I know we're going to move on to the Apple story, but it, like if we can do what we're doing with technology, why can't we figure this out?
No, that's the way I feel like about everything. The way we were able to put a man on the moon, but like we can't come up with a pill that like makes me not tired all the time.
Right?
That's not Adderall. Like, you know?
Right.
Like, why are people always tired? Like, why hasn't like modern medicine figured that out?
I don't know.
No, like how come they haven't found a cure for cancer, but they could put a man on the moon?
No, number one question of my life.
There's just so many things. Like we have self-driving cars.
I know.
But you can't kill a little disease, some cells.
It's ridiculous.
It's a conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I know. Don't even get me started.
They don't want us to get better.
They don't.
They don't want us to get better.
No, they want us to be like these feeble, like, you know, scared humans, and they'll take all of our money to fix the problem.
100%.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready for our fifth and final story that kind of blew the tech world wide open yesterday?
My brain's exploding.
Because Apple had their like biannual like conference where they all just like stand on stage and do PowerPoint presentations and tell you about all their new shits. And a lot of them were actually really kind of revolutionary.
Yep.
So the one that everyone's talking about is Apple has announced FaceTime voicemail, which basically you call someone on FaceTime, they don't pick up. Instead of it just ending, you can leave them a little video voicemail.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
I thought we were going to talk about the goggles.
We'll talk about everything. But the FaceTime voicemail, because most people these days, like, I don't call. You called me yesterday. Like, regular call, not FaceTime. It was so, you were pooping.
Oh, I was pooping.
But, like, you could have FaceTimed me. I don't care. Like, it was so weird. Nobody calls anymore. Like, for, like, actual socialization and communication.
I love a call. But that's the thing. Like, FaceTime. First of all, I fucking hate FaceTime.
What?
And I make an exception for you because I love you so much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But like, I just feel like I don't want to, I just don't want to look at my own face.
But I like that they make me really small so I can focus on you and not me.
It's not small enough. I'm still looking at myself. Oh, it's terrible. But I just, and Tay's family's very FaceTimey. It just feels like an assault on my, like, I don't know, personal space and privacy.
Oh my God, I fucking love FaceTime.
But I do love an old school call. So I don't know if I'm going to actually love this feature.
Well, there's another feature that you're going to love. It's called like, you know how back in the day when you had an answering machine?
Yes.
You would screen a voicemail.
Yes.
So now when somebody calls you and you want to know like what they want.
You can listen live.
I don't know if you can listen, but it'll transcribe. It'll come up and be like, hey, Taylor, this is your doorman. You know, there's a prostitute here for you. Want me to send them up? And you can actually answer as they're leaving the voicemail if you end up wanting to talk to them.
Oh.
So it's basically like a modern answering machine, which is really cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they also have these, I don't understand VR at all.
Tay explained it to me last night at dinner. Okay, so basically, I am scared about our society.
Yeah.
With all of these technological advancements, I just feel like we're just going to go so into our own selves. And there's going to be like, we already have trouble with communication in this world.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to really, every fiber of my soul is fighting this. But like, I'm also like, I will not be left behind. Like,
no, of course
I can't
not.
Type because my parents thought that the internet was a portal to porn, which was actually accurate. But like, I'm also very behind. Like, I can't type.
Wait, did you never do like in, maybe you might've been older than me.
No, we'd had computer like keyboard class.
Mavis Beacon, that like where you would write, the fox jumped over the thing.
I would play Oregon Trail.
Do you know who invented Oregon Trail?
No.
I'm gonna blow your mind. And this is how he's so rich.
Who?
Kevin O'Leary.
I'm blanking.
Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank.
Oh my God.
You know, he says he's like in the intro when they tell you all about the sharks, his is that he sold his education company for $3 billion. And part of his education company was Oregon Trail.
Favorite fucking game ever. Bring it back.
My
honestly,
ox,
make
my
a
ox,
series out of it. I'll watch it.
I'm still recovering from my ox dying of dysentery. Such a huge loss for me.
My kid got typhoid. It's terrible.
Terrible. I like how they would just like normalize like, oh, your husband's dead. Oh, okay. I guess game over.
Oh my God.
Dead
speaking
of
what? I was talking to, I don't want to give away their identity, but I was in
by the way, you are so bad at that. When you're on podcasts and stuff, you always think you're being so subtle and you're not. So I just want you to like speak carefully.
Okay. So I met these two people recently who were brought up Mormon.
Okay.
And then that's all the details I'll give.
Okay.
But they were telling about like their experience in the church and like they're no longer in the church, but they haven't like fully defected like Ala Whitney.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were saying that basically like, I mean, like you, did you do Birthright?
I didn't. I wasn't eligible at the time, but I know a million people who did. Jackie did.
And then there was like something, I can't remember now, like Kyriestos or something with catechism. It doesn't fucking matter. But my thing is, like, it's like a teenage journey.
Yeah. In Mormonism, it's called, like, after you graduate high school, you get like a letter and you have to go. That's what the Book of Mormon is about.
Oh.
You go and like proselytize. It's called, can you call, like, it's kind of like a Rumspringa, but the opposite.
Yes.
It's like the Mormons, but opposite. It's like their version of like birthright, I guess, where they go, they can teach seminaries and yeah. I know
so they
mean.
Go like into the wilderness.
Yeah.
And they, like, I mean, have, like, nothing modern whatsoever. And they put them in families. And they have to, like, role play the Oregon Trail, essentially. Hmm. Was my understanding of it.
Okay.
Psychotic.
Oh, that was the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That was such a waste of time. I'm so sorry to everybody.
No, but now it's, like, bothering me what that word is called. Our Mormon listeners. No, it's, like, our Mormon listeners are going to want to kill me. But I've seen videos of girls, like, who are really into Mormonism, like, getting their letter from the church. Being like, you're going to? It's kind of like college. Like, you're going to? Uganda, like random places.
But it's like they have to go camping
and like proselytize
and be put in fake families. And then like they have to wear like
is
outfits.
It, is it missionary? Like you go on your mission, you get your mission.
I think this is different. I think that this is different.
Oh.
That mission is fun. You like travel the world. Yeah. This is like hell torture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Breaking Amish?
Yes.
Such a good show.
Loves it.
I would love when they would go on their Rumspringa and like never come back from the English world.
I know. I would never come back from Rumspringa.
No, me neither.
Never.
You know, there's something nice about being Amish. You don't have to like put on makeup or brush your hair.
I'm here for that. I feel that I'm part Amish.
Yeah.
In my soul.
In the sense that I don't like brushing my hair.
And I also like half up, half down so much, which makes me a polygamist.
Half up, half down hair?
Yeah.
Is that how the Amish wear their hair?
Yeah.
They wear like a white cap.
Fine. Polygamists do.
Polygamists do, yes.
They love a half up, half down.
So
goggles.
Oh, right. Oh,
yes,
my God.
I'm very scared. So they're really fucking cool. Basically, so like the technology is, it requires, it's a lot of about eye technology and then also voice and then fingers. But like when you want to like touch an app, because like it's basically a screen that it's, so like, it's like everything is here.
It's like you're only seeing your phone.
It's if your phone was like this.
Right, right.
Yes, exactly. But it, you can actually see through the lens, so you're not like in a blackout state. So like when a person comes into the room, if you're like in there watching, it will like open up a spot so you can actually see somebody, because they don't want it to be super antisocial.
Scary. Yeah.
Exactly. So
it's a good way to get attacked. Like if you're just in your goggles,
you realize someone's
breaking into your house.
You would see right there.
Got it.
It would open up for them. But like you, like if you want to tap on an app, like you do like this with your fingers. Like how?
Oh, and
how?
So I guess basically like if you put them on and like you want to watch TikToks, so you're just like in the TikTok.
Yes, kind of.
That's like,
but then it was also like, you can also like watch TV, but you don't have to be in your home. You could be in a landscape. And it's like, why?
No.
Why?
But I feel like they've been trying to make virtual reality goggles a thing for so long.
Yes.
I'm not into it.
I will say, so they're going to be $3,500. I know my wife wants them. I'm not fucking buying them.
Oh my
for that.
God. I There's would come no over way. And use it though.
I know you would.
I'll contribute.
Absolutely. You come over, use it, and fucking pee on our couch.
I'll pee on it. I'll be having such a good time, I won't even realize that I had to pee. And next thing I know, couch is yellow. How does that sound?
I don't know. I feel like they're making me nervous, but I will not be left behind again.
I know,
and
again.
I need to learn how to do this for the future.
Yeah, like all the hand motions that are a part of it.
Exactly.
I'm going to walk into your apartment, you're just going to be like doing interpretive dancing. I'm like, what are you doing, Taylor? You're like, I'm practicing for when my VR goggles arrive.
When do you think you're going to get them? Because we're all going to have them at some point.
No, I actually don't think so. I feel like it's one of the things that like tech has tried to push on us for so many years.
And okay.
It's a novelty thing. It's cool to have. I don't think it'll become like a standard part. I don't think it's going to become ubiquitous.
But imagine like not having to bring your iPad and your headphones with you on a plane and just being able to put your goggles on. That's where they got me.
Yeah, no, that's pretty sick.
And you can like fucking watch. Like, can you imagine?
I feel like it kind of reminds me of the Apple Watch.
It's very similar.
Apple Watch is cool. It has a lot of benefits, but it never became like a thing that everybody needed.
Yeah, it's fetch. It's like never really happened.
It's a novelty.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what this is going to be.
I hope you're right, because I don't want to live in this world.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want like my family in this world.
No.
Like it's bad enough. I feel like people sit around now with their kids and everyone's on their own iPads. Like imagine if you're like this.
Scary.
It really is.
I absolutely just love you, like, more than anything. Thank you so much for being here. Really enjoyed this episode. This was, I think, some of our best work.
Really? I felt, like, so brain dead today. Like, I couldn't get a sentence out.
Oh, my God. I thought we were so funny. Like, the whole pride conversation.
Amazing. The pride conversation was terrible. Fantastic.
So, make sure to follow Taylor if you don't already, if you liked what you heard here. Taylor also does a daily show. It's on Patreon. It's extremely cheap. I keep telling her to raise her price. She does an hour-long show every single weekday for $6.95. Like, that's cheap at the price. She's a great co-host. She's hysterical. She also has a free podcast once a week called Taste of Taylor. But if you want to sign up for her Patreon, it's patreon.com/TheTaylorStrecker Show.
Thank you.
Follow her on Instagram. God, Lord knows she needs it.
Please.
At Taylor Strecker.
Yes.
And that's it. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us a video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. My name is Toast, leave a 5-star review. I bet how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Tomorrow we are in studio again, so there will be video, and Joey Camasta is joining me.
I love him.
Woohoo! Bye.